What is going on, everyone? Welcome back to Inside the Eye. We have a very special episode for you guys because obviously we have a lot of great shit to talk about tonight. Chris, how you doing?
Doing great.
Excited to talk about that big win?
Absolutely. Excited to be back from the swamp. It's a great experience, though.
Yes. We'll talk more about it, but usually we sound the sirens before we start. But tonight I have a special video that I made. If you've been on Twitter, you may have saw it. It went a little bit viral. I won't get too crazy with that, but let's shout it out. We'll see a little bit of a couple bad takes from our Gator faithful that they had here.
F's record against the in-state teams, and then what is their overall record going to be?
Ooh, I would say, I have no doubt that Florida's going to go 3-0 in the state. So let me chalk those up right there.
But that secondary in Miami is absolute food. They're going to be starting a true freshman back there. Attack him. Like, put him on the jumbotron.
Miami versus Florida, first game. What's happening?
We're going to whoop them. And you're going to see how many lies I got in my draft about us winning that championship.
Anton, I know you sensitive bunch got so upset yesterday. Your secondary sucks. Sorry.
Shut up, bitch. The U. It's all about the U. It's all about the U. It's all about the U. You say it.
There we go. Like, it just needed to be done. I needed to kind of shut up those Gates fans, have the receipts, let them know how much shit they were talking before this game, and we dominated them. It just was sheer dominance from the kickoff. We were there sweating our asses off. It was probably the hottest day. It was honestly probably the hottest I have ever felt in my entire life. I have no idea how those players were even playing on that field that day. But it was sheer domination. And I don't think our secondary was food. I don't think our secondary sucks. I think our secondary played great. We'll talk about it. But Chris, how are you just feeling this week? Because I've been feeling amazing after this win.
So I've only rewatched the game like four times, but besides that, this was incredible. It was, and I had a good feeling going into this game. I thought we were going to win by two scores. I didn't realize we were going to win by 24, but it was great. Like I said, the swamp, my first time ever there, it was hot, like you said. The fan base was definitely a little rowdy, but it only lasted to the first half because they all started emptying out the second half, so it was great. But no, it was awesome. Nothing's better than going to an away game and just beating the crap out of another team, especially the Gators. It was awesome. I'm pumped.
And I'm glad you brought up the rowdy crowd, the atmosphere, because that's been such a hot topic about this game. Was that, is Cam Ward, can he keep up with the atmosphere? Is he going to get rattled? And even when Gators were in the game, which wasn't for a long period of time, I would say the atmosphere was something insane. Like, I wouldn't say I was turning around and looking around and being like, wow, it's really loud in here. I've been to stadiums. I know you haven't been to as many like away stadiums as far as college atmospheres are concerned, but I went to Clemson. I've been to Texas A&M. I've been to Florida State. And honestly, I've been to Florida State when it was packed, like it was at Ben Hill Griffin Stadium. And when they got that chop going, man, and all 90,000 got that chop going, I thought it was louder. I thought it was more of a crazy atmosphere than anything I saw at Ben Hill Griffin. Sure, it got loud at times, but what away game doesn't get loud? I mean, let's be real. You know, like I was, there was never a moment in the game, even at the beginning, where I was like, man, this is crazy. This is an, I can't hear myself think. There was never a time where I felt that way. I don't know about you. I don't know if you felt like the atmosphere was something, you know, otherworldly that we've heard from all these Gator fans. I didn't feel that way.
No, it was, I'll give it to him though. It was loud, but like I said, it was nice because it only lasted, you know, the first half, but you know, when Cam threw the interception or they broke out that long run, they definitely got rowdy, but it quieted, you know, shortly after, and it wasn't like a constant noise. So no, I definitely think I was going in there with higher expectations. So I was fine with it, especially being the away team for sure.
100%. I want to just say some stats real quick, because I think the Gator fans are, and we're going to talk more about the Canes. I just want to talk about something real quick with the Gators. I think Gator fans are kind of kicking themselves today or this week, because I never understood why they were so adamant about getting rid of Dan Mullen. I mean, Dan Mullen, I think, went in 4 or 5 years, went to 3 near 6 bowls, competed for SEC championships. Sure, he had his lapses of recruiting. He wasn't the best recruiter. That was always his hiccup. The man was a good coach. And I just want to point out what you guys have put yourself in as far as a situation and a position, because you guys called so badly for Dan Mullen to get fired. Florida is 2-9. Versus teams that finished rank under Billy Napier, under him. They have lost now 6 consecutive football games under Billy Napier. They have not won a home game since October of last year. And Florida is 1-10 versus rival teams now under Billy Napier. Yeah, so I want Gator fans to think about those stats. And sometimes, and I've said it with Canes fans in the past, the grass ain't always greener on the other side, you know? And now they're finding themselves in a really rocky situation. Napier's buyout is insane. They're, you know, it's, there's really nothing to hold your hat on. You look at your schedule, you're going to be in a lot of problems for the rest of the season. I don't even know if you beat UCF, you know, like, Samford maybe the only just confirmed dub on their schedule. And then you look at FSU, we can talk about them a little bit later in the pod, but Miami is in prime position right now. Like, they are, this is the time to separate yourself from the rest of the teams in state. And let's just kick it off straight out. Cam Ward, I mean, it is, I know it's beating a dead horse, what a lot of other people have said, but it's better than advertised. You know, I spent months just constantly watching his highlights. Like, and I'm like, this man is a game breaker, changes the game, can move his feet. And one thing I know a lot of people have been talking about, calm, cool, collected, looked like he didn't even care out there. And it was almost bizarre. It looked like he was moving at like half speed. And even when at the beginning of the game, I remember looking to you and looking to my dad, who was there also. And when he took off for those runs and kind of like slowed down towards the sideline, it was almost like a baiting approach too, being like, all right, hit me. Go ahead, hit me. Yeah. Get the penalty. Go ahead. Do what you need to do. And when I saw that, I was like, yo, we got someone. This guy is here to play. And he doesn't really give a crap about what's going on in the stadium, how loud it is. He doesn't care about any of that. He's in his own world. And it showed with the rest of his play in the game. Like, how do you feel about it, Chris?
So Cam Ward is an NFL quarterback playing college right now, straight up. The game is so slow for him that he was playing games with the Gators out there. Like you said, you know, walking to the sideline when he's scrambling. Has all day in the pocket to throw. Offensive line did a great job. And then after the 5 or 6 seconds, after they broke the line, then he would scramble out, get another 5 or 6 seconds. The receivers had all day to get open. It was awesome. I love watching it because when you're winning and you're dominating, it's so nice. And when you have a guy like Cam Ward, we haven't had anyone like this ever, like in the program.
I agree. No. I don't think we've ever had anyone. No. With this skill set. I mean, you can say Miami's had amazing quarterbacks in the past. Vinny Testaverde, Bernie Kosar, you know, Walsh, you know, all these guys. Dorsey, Derek King, Kaya, whatever. Kenny Kelly, whatever you want. Like,
no.
They have never had a guy with this type of skill set that can take over a game by himself.
So like, I'm gonna say one more thing real quick, and you say whatever you want. But Cam Ward, he looked like Patrick Mahomes on the field. Hit all the arm angles, scrambling, creating time, hitting the receiver. In my opinion, he looked like that on the field.
And it was one thing too. Like, it almost gave you like a backyard football mindset of what he was doing. He was just out there playing, like having fun. Anything he had to do. All right, I'm gonna change my arm angle here. Hit Restrepo on a wide receiver screen. It almost looked like he was just playing with his boys out there. He just didn't get. And then that rollout when it was 31-10, the kill shot, as I call it. It was 31-10, and I think it was still like middle of third quarter. Whatever, he goes out, avoids a rusher. As he's avoiding a rusher, the rusher is still coming after him. Turns his body, straightens his body on the run, throws a ball on a seam 20 yards where it wasn't terrible coverage. There was two guys between Jacoby George in the back of the end zone. So if that ball is couple yards left, couple yards right, it's an incompletion or a pick. The fact that he was able to roll away from that defender, roll out, straighten his body as he throws on the run, going his opposite direction of where his arm angle goes. It's not like he was rolling out to his right, he was rolling out to his left, and pivots his body to be able to straighten himself and throw that throw. That's honestly one of the best throws I've ever seen. And I know someone posted a tweet about, like, is that the best throw in Kane's history that you've ever seen? I'll put it on par with Stephen Morris, NC State, when he, you know, like, time expiring, hits Philip Dorsett on that, like, 60-yard bomb in 2013. But other than that, I mean, I can't think of a throw where I'm, like, I was in awe. I was, like, so giddy. I just, like, screamed. I, like, physically screamed because I was, like, what did I just witness? It looked like it's just something, like you said, something we've never had before. And it's just – one thing I'll point out, too, is you have the O-line. They did their job. I would say the running game wasn't as dominant as I possibly would have expected. In the game, they didn't get as much push on a lot of running plays. But one thing they did is they gave Cam Ward time. And then even when Cam Ward needed to buy time, he bought time outside the pocket. So it felt like Cam Ward could sit back there for 20, 25 seconds, honestly, because he would sit back there for 5-10 seconds. If he needed to roll out, rolled out, bought another 15 seconds. Like he was doing whatever he needed to do out there to get his guys open. One thing I want to hit on next is the receivers. I don't know how you stop this offense. I just don't know how. I don't know how. If a Florida team, which I'm going to say something real quick, say what you want about Florida, whatever, say they suck, whatever. That is probably the most talented team we are going to play this year. As far as pure talent on the field, like as far as athleticism, talent, everything you could possibly have on a team. Make a case for FSU, whatever, make a case for Louisville, you know, make a case for some of these other teams. I think Florida probably has the most talent on the field. And the fact that these receivers, it was pick your poison. It was Restrepo doing his thing where he literally broke a dude's ankle, literally, like, broke a dude's ankle. Like, that was one of the most nasty moves I've ever seen.
Hit the spin move and just
hit the spin. It reminded me of the Madden, the viral Madden. He broke his leg. Look at him go. He broke his leg. I made a funny clip that I was going to post on Twitter, but I didn't want to be mean because I don't know I don't know the status of Asa Turner.
Yeah, their safety. Transfer, so
I didn't want to be mean, so I kept it in the drafts. But if I find out that he's healthy and he's okay, I'm going to post that shit because I find it funny as hell. But, you know, it's pick your poison. Restrepo, he's always going to do his thing. Jacoby George, electric. Isaiah Horton has had an amazing game. You know, we didn't see even much from Ray Joseph, JoJo Trader. I will say Sam Brown underwhelmed me a little bit. He kind of put a little bit of bad taste in my mouth for the first game of the season, not going all out on that one play towards the end zone. You know, all he had to do was lower his shoulder into the guy, and he kind of
jogged it in. Yeah,
he kind of bitched out and didn't make it all the way in. But I mean, I'm sure he'll come around. That's just me being nitpicky. But them with the tight ends, Arroyo, we've been talking nonstop about Arroyo. Arroyo is here. He is here. He is a beast. He is going to do his thing. How do you stop this offense? Like, you're on the road, first game of the year. So their offense is only going to get better. They're going to gel more. They're going to get more comfortable with each other. First game of the year on the road in front of 90,000 people against a very talented Florida team that has talent on that defense, did whatever they wanted to. They could have scored more than 41 points if they wanted to. Hell, if Sam Brown had caught that wide receiver pass, we're looking at 45. I mean, they could have made it ugly if they really wanted to. I think Mario did ease back on the brakes a little bit towards the end. But I just, how do you stop this offense, Chris? I just don't know how.
I want to point out George's catch in the back of the end zone when he's running across the field. I think that's a very underrated catch because when he caught it, the Gator guy, you know, popped him. Like, he knew it was coming, like that hit. And to hold on to that ball and concentrate on catching it and hold on to it after the catch, that took a lot of skill.
And he got two feet in, too. That was a
hell of a catch. Yeah. I will say I remember there was at least one play where Ray Joseph was coming over the middle, and he had a lot of grass in front of him, and it just hit him right in the hands. I was like, man, I really wanted Ray because he – I feel like – I mean, I don't know the play count, the snap count, but I feel like he wasn't on the field as much. And so when he did get on the field, I'm a big Ray fan. When he dropped that, I was like – damn, I really wish he would have, because I think he would have took off. And yeah, going back to Brown also, yeah, that play. And then after that play where he got stopped on like the 1 yard line, Cam Ward hands it off to Fletcher. He gets it in. Cam Ward could have four passing touchdowns. I was like, that's another one. But like I said, not being too greedy, but I was like, man, that would have been nice to have. But I'm glad they got it in at the end of the day. So I was very happy with the performance. The receivers, the tight ends did very well. Arroyo, my boy Arroyo, did his thing. I want to do a little shout out to Lofton at the end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, 6-7 tackles he broke at the end of the game doing his
shifty.
Thing.
Shifty. Yeah. Just straight shifty, bro. Shifty.
He did great too. So I was over the moon.
One thing or two, Fletcher looked great. Honestly, I'd say at times Fletcher looked better than Martinez. I think those guys are going to be fighting for snaps. Like, it's just how do you keep – it's almost like you got to find a way to get both of them on the field at the same time. Like, I don't know how, you know, but Fletcher looked good. Fletcher looked like he hadn't been out for any sort of time. He looked like he was fresh. He looked like he had speed. Like, that dog pile one that you're talking about where he jumped over the line – you know, obviously he's healthy, he's fully healthy. That didn't faze him at all. You know, so the running backs, receivers, quarterback, offensive line, it's probably the most complete offensive showing I've ever seen on the road, like in a big game in a long time from a Miami Hurricanes team. I couldn't even tell you when's the last time I felt this good about the offense. Like, going to Louisville now doesn't scare me. Going to
– it definitely eases the pain a little bit.
Yeah, going to Cal doesn't scare me. Like, I feel like an idiot 2 weeks ago where I was like, oh, we may lose at Cal. Like, fuck that. Bring Cal on. Let's go. Like, I'm not scared of any of these fucking games anymore. Like, who?
So you think a 13-0 ACC championship?
If Cam Ward is healthy, like, I just don't. Like, we're going to beat FSU by 50 points. Like, we are going to destroy them. Like, it's not. I even see FSU fans on the timeline on Twitter saying, like, they posted the score from 45-3 a couple years ago, and they retweeted and said, do you know Mario is going to fuck us? Like, he is going to put up as many points as he possibly can, and we're screwed. Like, they know they're screwed. They know they're going to lose by 40 points. Like, it's going to be ugly. Like, it's going to be a home game. DJ Ukulele is not going to complete a pass. Like,
I don't even know if he's going to be the starter.
Okay, that's... but then who are you going to put, Brock Glenn? Like, yeah. Good luck, bro.
Yeah,
good
no. luck.
Like, I just, it eases so many of my concerns. Like, I'm chilling. I'm chilling. In these next 2 weeks, we can chill because, like, we should just chill and coast. Like, it feels good. It feels good to feel this way finally. Obviously, it's just one game. You know, we could all be sitting here and, you know, shit the bed at USF or whatever, Cal. But, like, right now, I am over the moon. Like, I you can't tell me anything right now. Like, let me just pull something up real quick. Like, look at this shit for our guys on YouTube. So we have the team stats up, and this is absurd. Like, total yards, 529-261. Passing yards, 385-121, 122. There goes your secondary sucks. fucking comment, Brandon, whatever your name is, from Locked On Gators. And half of those, I'm pretty sure, were Lagway or whatever. Rushing yards, 144-139. 70 of those yards were on one play from the Gators. So that doesn't mean shit to me. Yards per play, 7.7-4.8. First downs, 25-17. Third down efficiency, and this is what we're going to get into next, 5 of 10 for the Canes. Granted, I don't feel like they were in third downs often. And the Gators were 1 of 9. 1 of 9. 1 of 9. At home. At home. 1 of 9. That is absurd. And, like, it's absurd. And it's one of those things where it's like, you completely dominated. You dominated the game. Dominated. And again, we haven't seen it from a Miami Hurricanes team on the road against a capable opponent in a long time. Like, this game at one point was 41-10 in the middle of the fourth quarter. Like, I don't think people realize, like, we fucking killed this team. Like, we destroyed them. We were 2.5-point favorites. When's the last time Miami was a very small favorite and went out and just destroyed a team? Like, I know I'm beating a dead horse here, but that's where we're going to pivot in the next point, the defense. I feel like the offense is getting all the pub, which rightfully so, I get it. The defense showed out, letting up less than 300 yards of total offense on the road in a hostile environment with the crowd behind them. You know, they easily could have folded after that 71-yard rushing touchdown, and they didn't. They got back to business, didn't let it faze them, didn't give up another point. That was like end of the second quarter. They didn't give up another point until like towards the end of the fourth.
Yeah.
Towards the end of the fourth quarter. Like, they locked in. And it was a defensive breakdown. Like, that whole rushing play was a defensive breakdown. Someone was supposed to be on that side of the field. I'm pretty sure it was Jaden Harris.
Yeah, he took a bad angle.
Yeah, he over pursued and there was no one over there. That's it. He'll learn. He played amazing. He had a great game. He was one of my worries about the team. And he showed out. And one thing I want to point out too, under 3 yards of offense without Reuben Bain from the first drive of the game, It's not like he was out from like the third quarter on. He literally was out of the game from the first drive on. When that happened, I'm not going to lie, I got a little worried. But God, Tyler Barron. Fuck. That boy balled out. God, thank God we locked him in towards the end of the transfer portal, because that guy is a beast. Mesidor showed out. Simeon Barrow showed out. Austin. All these guys that we've been raving about for months. It makes us feel good that we're not idiots and they actually showed out. Like, the hype wasn't fake. Like, they balled. They balled. Your boy, I'll let you talk on it. Wesley Bissaint. We've been talking about it for weeks now. He's going to be a very important cog of this defense. He needs to really take that next step, and I think he proved that. He was in every position. He was in every spot. He didn't seem like he seemed like he was fully prepared. There was never a moment where he felt like he overpursued, wasn't in a spot that he was supposed to be in. Just in general, give me your feelings on the defense.
I'm loving it, and I'm going to point out the defense, but all the transfers. Every single transfer played a role in this game. Mm-hmm. I think, did we hit on every transfer? Like, when you look at, I mean, Mish Powell, you got the whole defensive line, Cam Ward, Martinez, Carpenter, Brown. Like, I think we did all right on the transfer portal.
I don't think we had a miss. I think you're right. Yeah. I don't think we had a miss.
The defensive line. They, you know, I've been talking about them every time we get on here. Like, they're going to be the difference maker. They were the difference maker. Like, they were dominant. Wesley Bissaint did his thing. It was nice to see him take that next step. Malgoa, you know, he held his own. I'm pretty sure Graham knows his name now, so that's good. I actually saw a slow motion where he was getting hit and Graham's mouthpiece is just flying all over the place. He's got like this scared face on. Pretty sure he knows the guy's name now. They did great. I was super impressed because, like I said, when you do have so many new pieces, you don't know what you're going to get. And this is week one. They look like they were playing their 10th game of the season. Mm-hmm. To me, yeah. They were gelling. They knew the plays. They knew where they were supposed to go. They knew the assignments. Like, I saw something going – just one more comment about the offense. Cam mm-hmm. Ward mentioned this is the most prepared he's ever been for a game. I love to hear that. And I'm sure the guys on defense would say the same thing.
And I think that's a good point to bring up because I felt like it was the most team win that we've had in a very long time. Everything kind of gelled. Like, it just felt very smooth. You know, there were only two penalties. You know, it just felt like you said, it felt like the entire team was locked in. No dumb mistakes. I even saw a tweet that said Jacoby George apparently was shouted out on Monday at team practice, like team walkthrough, whatever, after the game, because he got punched at one point during the game and he didn't retaliate. And one big thing about Jacoby George over the last couple of years is he's got very thin skin. He would always retaliate. He would always make dumb decisions, mental decisions. Get 15-yard penalties. We saw it time and time again last year. And listen, that's growth. That's character growth. That's player growth. That's amazing things to see. That's a testament to Mario Cristobal, the culture he's building. And like you said, like, you're hearing time and time again that these guys are working. They're working hard. They're probably in the facility till 8, 9 o'clock at night, catching balls, doing things. Like, that's the stuff that the teams over the last 20 years have not had. They haven't had that want to. They haven't had that stay after practice and work for a couple more hours. Like, let's do some routes. Let's work on our connection. Let's work on how we work with each other, things like that. And I think we're seeing that. You know, even with the transfers, I think I saw a clip of, like, Simeon Barrow and Mesidor after a big play, like, running off the field together, like, you know, like hugging, like, you know, looking like they were, like, they had played with each other for 4 years. Like, and that's a testament to when you bring a bunch of transfers in, a bunch of new guys, you need to have a culture in place to where they're going to feel welcome. They're going to feel like a part of the team already, you know, like they're not like an outsider. And I think that's what's, it's been so great having Cam Ward since January, because he has been able to gel really well with his receivers, his new guys, his freshmen, things like that. Whereas you've had veterans like Kiko, Malagoa, guys that can gel these new players together, have them be one unit. And I think what you're seeing with FSU is they're bringing a lot of guys in. They don't feel like they're really gelling. They're just pieces thrown on a chessboard, but they're not actually moving anywhere. They're just like there. And Gio talked about it last episode, production over potential. And we're seeing it. Certain teams that went up north took a lot of potential, took a lot of guys that had 5 stars next to their name, but had barely fucking done shit in college. And look what's happening. They're not doing shit. And Chris Sabol went out and got guys that have proven commodities, that have shown it before, and they're gelling. They just look. It felt so clean. It was a clean win. Every person did their job. There's really not one person. It's wild to think that there's not one person that I could be like, man, that really pissed me off when that guy did that. Like, every guy played well. Like,
yeah, no, for sure. The DBs, that was, you know, our biggest question mark, right, was the secondary. They got 2 interceptions. You know, Graham doesn't do anything the whole game. But did fine to me.
You started the true freshman, too, O.J. Frederick, who's going to be a baller, by the way. An absolute baller. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I was impressed with the whole team. Like you said, as a team win, it's incredible. If you're not hyped for the season now, like, I don't know what to tell you, because I want to play FanDuel like right now. Like, I'm so pumped to watch that game. I'm ready for the season. Like, I'm ready for this. I'm excited for it. Team's playing well, looks like. So, see where it can go.
And one thing I want to point out, too, about the secondary, Damari Brown, another guy, out of the game, I think, second quarter.
Yeah.
You know, so the team wasn't even missing. The team was missing pieces throughout this game. Very important key pieces in this game. They showed, still gave us that performance. But you know what this feels like? And I don't know if you remember, but for some reason I had this game seared into my mind because I was so terrified about it when I was like 13 years old. This game reminds me of when, I think it was 2005, we went up, Kyle Wright went up to Virginia Tech. It was like a 3-5 matchup. And listen, I know Florida is not close to that caliber, but it feels like this. It was like 05. It was Marcus Vick. Marcus Vick was the quarterback of Virginia Tech. And it was packed house. It was in Blacksburg. And no one was giving us a shot to win. And we went up there and dominated. I think we won like 23-3, 26-3. This is what it felt like. You went up and took care of business. Like, you went up and played a team game. And it's just, there's really nothing I can be. I want to sit here and bitch. Like, I want to be like, there's something I didn't like about this. But, like, who are you going to bitch? Like, Jose Borgalis? Bro, you missed a field goal. Like, whatever. It was, like, 46 yards. Like, I'll give him a pass. But, like, I completely forgot Ray Joseph. I even missed a pass until you brought that up. But, like, there's still, you can't, there's nothing to bitch about. Like, in hindsight, is look at the other messes going on in the state. Like now that we've talked a lot about the game, like, what the fuck is going on with FSU? Like, I could not, I'd be honest. Like, I picked them to be, like, a little overrated. Yeah. But, like, this is bad, bro. They're not going to win next week. I'm telling you. I've told people, like, Memphis is the best team that they've played so far. Like, I'm telling you, Memphis is better than BC and is better than Georgia Tech. They have a quarterback, Seth Hennigan, that is going to play on Sundays. Like, he is really fucking good. And DJ Ukulele, I'm not even going to try to say his last name, but, like, bro, he's bad. Fucking bad. Really bad. Like, it's almost like there was times where I was watching the game on Monday and I felt bad for him. Like, I'm like, bro, like, you can't complete simple passes. Like you look like, and it's really bizarre because he was serviceable at Clemson. Like he made plays. Like he looks like he can't make simple reads and simple throws. Slant throws are like a struggle for him. Like that one he missed in the back of the end zone where the guy, no one was in within 10 yards of his receiver. Like, I'm like, dude, I could have completed that pass. You give me a football, snap it to me, put me in that situation. I guarantee you I complete it 9 times out of 10. Like, that's wild. Like, and I don't know. You can look at their schedule and the way they're playing. Like, I don't know if I see more than 4 wins for them. Like they may lose at SMU. Like they lose, like they're probably gonna beat Cal at home. Cal's just not very good at all. But
we thought the same thing about Georgia Tech and Boston College.
No, I thought Georgia Tech was gonna be pretty good. But BC, I kind of saw BC coming because Tommy Castellanos is a baller, man. I'm telling people that.
No, he's good. I don't know. I wouldn't, but I'm not. I think everything's like 50-50 with them,
bro.
Like you're talking about Cal.
Bro, they still go to Clemson.
Yeah.
They still go at Duke.
They got Florida.
That's not an easy dub. You still go to at Duke. You go
they got like Florida.
You go to Florida. You play Florida. You play at SMU. They play at Miami. Like, where are the wins? I don't know. If they keep playing the way they're playing, they don't have a quarterback, dude. And they don't have anyone on offense. Like, who is their, like, who's their guy? Like, Tua Feely? Like, what happened? Like,
yeah.
Like, did they not, like, get anyone that, like, can make plays? Like, it feels like it is possibly the biggest drop-off I have ever seen from a team from one year to another. Like, they're bad. They're bad. They look like Norvell, like, second year, where they went, like, 5-7. But they look bad. Like, what happened? What happened, and I tweeted about it. I said, this is what happens when you rely on the transfer portal, but you're not developing your own guys. Because guess what? Last year, they hit hardcore on the transfer portal. I'll give them that. Verse, all these guys, Fisk, ballers. But guess what? You neglected your recruiting. You neglected developing your other guys. When Fisk, Verse, the tight end, I forgot his name, Keon Coleman, all these guys are gone. So who's coming in? Who's coming in to place them? If you don't hit on your new transfer portal guys, you're going to suck. And they didn't hit. It doesn't look like they hit. Marvin Jones Jr. ain't doing shit.
Yeah, right.
Jaylen Brown, I don't even know if he's caught a pass yet. Like, it's bad. I don't know, man. This is our time to strike. This is our time.
There should be no reason why we shouldn't get all the top recruits in the state of Florida.
Yep.
Like, we should have anyone we want.
100%. I agree. This is our time. This is our time to completely separate ourselves. Like, okay, this is the time when you look at 5 years from now, and if you've developed yourself into a marquee program again, this is the time where you can look to yourself in 5 years and be like, this is when we separated ourselves from everyone else. Like, they are disarray. Billy Napier will be gone in 5 games. Who knows what they're going to hire? Like, my Gator fans are just as delusional as Miami fans as far as who they think they're going to hire. They all think they're going to get Lane Kiffin. Bro, sorry to tell you. I don't think Florida is a better job than Ole Miss right now.
Absolutely.
Like, I really don't. Like, I really don't. Like, with the amount of money that they're pouring into that program right now, like, and they're getting transfers left and right, like, why would he leave? Why would he leave? You know, like, it's crazy to me. All right, so obviously this weekend, we got BAMU, 6 o'clock, under the lights. I unfortunately won't be able to be there. I have wedding festivities this weekend. So I appreciate anyone that commented on my posts and subscribed to the YouTube channel. I'll be reaching out to one of you guys and giving you 2 free tickets. and a parking pass because I want that place to be packed. Like I want the support that they deserve. So please, if you can get out there to support the Canes this weekend, please get out there. They deserve it. Let's shut down all that BS about, oh, we never fill the stadium, we don't have support. You have no excuse anymore. Boys are playing hard. They have a great team this year. Go out and support. Make that place hard to play in. Let's do it. But we got BMU this weekend. It's actually a really interesting game, kind of, because we're going to be seeing a lot of old faces. I believe Thad Franklin is now on BMU.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I believe Quan Lee is on BMU, if you guys remember the recruit that kind of played us a couple years ago. So there's going to be some, like, fresh face, some faces that we've seen before on FAMU. And I think they got like a ton of D1 transfers, actually. I've been seeing a bunch of like weird tweets about people saying like, be careful about FAMU. Like, come on. They barely beat Portland State or whatever in Norfolk State. Like, get the fuck out of here. They're still FAMU. You know, come down, get your paycheck. We're going to beat you by 60 points. Let's go. Not worried about this game at all. You know, like, what I'm worried about is I want no one to be hurt. That's what these games are always about. I'd play Cam Ward a couple series and just take him out for the rest of the game. Like, you should be able to run for 400 yards anyways in this game, so I don't think the quarterback really matters. Like, just run it down their throat. I'd play Cam maybe the first quarter at most. Hopefully you go up 14 points, maybe 21 points real quick. Take them out. Let Reese, let Emery get some burn. Let's see some of the young guys. I'm excited to see JoJo Trader. I'm excited to see, you know, Nykar. I'm excited to see some Chris Johnson action. Which, by the way, Chris Johnson was actually on kickoff at UF. He just never got a chance to return anything. But that was still fun to see. I just want to see the young guys, you know. I want to see some Justin Scott action, you know. I want to see some guys ball out that we may not really see much of for the rest of this year. So that's what it's about. I don't want starters in there for more than one quarter. I don't think it's necessary. If you can't beat the hell out of this team with your second string, then you're not as good as we think. So, you know, that's what I'm looking forward to is the young guys. How about you?
Yeah, no. So I really, really want to see Reese play. Like, I want to see what his game is about. So if he could get a whole half, like, I would be totally fine with that. I want to see his game because he lit it up, you know, up north?
FCS, yeah.
Yeah, and I really want to see him play because he could be the starter next year. I kind of want to see where, you know, it's gonna be a battle between him and Emery. I'm gonna be honest with you, from what I was reading, you know, he was struggling a little bit, but he started picking up towards the end of the camp. I want to see what he can do. There was a, you know, he came into the Florida game because I think he came in over Emery because Emery played a lot last year,
mm-hmm.
right? And so Emery's only a sophomore. I think Reese has this year and next year, and that's it.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to really give him some extra playing time over Emery, in my opinion. See what he's got, and I really want to see what he's got. I'm like super pumped for him. Like, I feel like I'm his father. I'm like, I'm ready to see you get on the field. But yeah, like, you know, Elijah Lofton, I want to see him get in the game. I want to see some more spin moves, some broken mm-hmm. tackles. A player on defense that I really want to see is Patterson. I want to see. Yes. I want to see him hit. Yeah. I want to see him, you know, be that field general that's going to be for the next coming years. Like, he's my guy I'm looking for on offense. Reese on offense Patterson and on defense.
And there's a lot of defensive players that'll be fun to watch get some burn. Like, I want to see Popo. There's a lot of linebackers that I want to see play. A lot of kids that came in this past year that apparently have been balling out at the linebacker position. Malik Bryant. They put Malik Bryant back on the D-line, so D-end, so it'd be fun to see him get some burn. You know, it's just a ton of guys that, like, you know, in 2-3 years, these are going to be your key contributors, you know? So it's going to be fun to see them kind of ball out. This is what these games are for, is for them to get some game time action. I get it, it's against a very lesser opponent, but at the end of the day, you got to line it up and play, so... You know, it's just fun to see these guys get some burn. But no injuries.
That'd be nice.
That's my key to the game. I don't give a shit about anything else. No injuries. That's it. No injuries to anyone. Very important. Just, you know, get them all out in the first quarter. If you're up a couple scores, you can get them out. We don't need to test any bad juju here. But yeah, so you want to have some fun? You want to like give a game score prediction?
I'm going to say the Hurricanes are going to win 63-3. That's what I'm going to go with.
That's a pretty valid game score. I'm going to go 70-7.
Okay.
I think FAMU gets on the board, gets a touchdown at some point. They have improved the roster. They got some guys. So I think maybe fourth quarter or something, they'll kind of get lucky and get something in the end zone.
Dad's going to get it in there in the fourth quarter.
Hey, I wish them the best, man. But yeah, this has been fun. Listen, this season seems like it's going to be a blast. Let's pray, keep our fingers crossed that it is going to be. I still do want to just clamor that it is the first game. There's a lot to prove still. But you can't not be hyped about this team. You can't not be excited about this team, especially with everything else going on, especially in the ACC. Virginia Tech losing to Vanderbilt, FSU was looking like FSU, whatever they've been looking like. Clemson got dog walked by Georgia. NC State did not look very good against, I forgot who the hell they played, Western Carolina. Like, I mean, I think the second best team in the ACC right now is Georgia Tech. That's crazy to say. Being honest, and I think the highest, second highest ranked is Louisville. I think Louisville's 22 now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's wide open, man. It's for our taking. This is, if we don't win this year, I don't know when we win. If we don't win the ACC this year, we're never going to win it, because you are hands above, you are leagues above of some of these other teams that are in the running already. As far as talent's concerned, like, this is the year, man. He got to get it done. You got to get an ACC trophy in that fucking trophy case. This is the year. This is the fucking year. But again, thank you, Chris, for joining me. Appreciate it. I had a blast talking about everything past week. And again, if you guys are listening on Apple Pod, please give us a review. Give us a 5-star. Tell your friends. Tell your family, tell anyone that's a Canes fan, college football fan, to please go check us out. If you're on YouTube, please shoot us a subscription. Please sub to the channel. You know, it's great to get a view on YouTube, but if you don't sub, doesn't help us very much. And again, we are on Spotify as well. So we're everywhere you can find podcasts, literally. But again, I appreciate you all for joining us tonight, and go Canes.
It's all about the U.
Let's go.